Oh my land. Welcome back, Quality Time listeners. It's me, your host, Eric Woodworth. Now, this episode up top, when we recorded it, let's just say it'd been a long day. I was maybe at a little bit of my wit's end, maybe a couple of vodka sodas deep at this point. And the topic of Jeremy's health came up, and I'll be honest with you, folks. Got pretty heated. Almost broke up the band right here in this episode. Get strapped in and get ready to listen to this as we talk about Jeremy's health, which I think you guys will enjoy. I didn't enjoy listening to it or experiencing any part of it. But if I can give you a quick shout out so you can drop us a 5-star rating, we'd really appreciate that. And without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, get ready to hear a domestic dispute, and then we break down the rest of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Hey, this is Jack Shoulder, director of Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and many other great movies, and I just want to give a shout out to Quality Time Podcast.
He's nicer than Elliot.
I didn't talk to Elliot. I didn't have money, so I didn't actually meet him. So
he is nicer than Elliot.
Well, yes. He also took a Pogo t-shirt, and I got a picture with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So older brother is cooler.
And I got a picture with Jack.
Michael Jai White.
Jack Shoulder with a Pogo t-shirt as well.
Okay.
So.
Should I say it? Welcome back to Quality Time, episode 2.
Welcome back to Quality Time. Now I have the hiccups. God damn it.
I had to stop. Okay. Full disclosure to our listeners. I had to stop the podcast last episode for 15 minutes so I could stop having hiccups. And if you were listening, yes, there were hiccups up until a certain point because I was like, I couldn't fucking take it anymore. I can't fucking do it, Jeremy. By the way, my name is Eric Woodworth. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy.
Actually, I'm John Ressler, the other guy from Weird Science Tonight.
Okay.
Because it's a totally different episode.
Thank you for shitting on me about my natural occurrence of hiccuping.
Well, you gave it to the drunkenness, which I didn't think you were that drunk.
I've been drinking and I'm delirious. I've been putting mulch out all goddamn day, Jeremy. I'm fucking exhausted. I will fucking flat shovel your chops in a second.
I am exhausted from being old and just ready to die. So.
I like it. I had to work a fucking back-breaking amount of work today to get to Jeremy's age level.
Which by the way...
Of just him waking up.
Which, by the way, you asked me for help like weeks ago, and not only did I fuck you over because I forgot about it, and I thought I was working a real job today, but then when the job fell through, I was still too lazy to help you today because I'm a scumbag. So
I told Jeremy he can come over. I'm like, we're ready to go. We're ready. We need the help. And he never came over until it was podcast time.
I went back to bed.
You fucked me.
I went back to bed after pretending to go to work at 4 a.m. this morning, which my boss called me out at 2 a.m. So I went back home, went back to bed, and got out of bed finally at 10 a.m. this morning, and I was still exhausted. So
that's because you have horrible sleep apnea that you won't treat. I mean, that's the real thing. Get a goddamn mask, Jeremy!
I am never wearing that
fucking
mask.
Fucking wear that mask.
Wear that mask, I become Darth Vader.
And that's the dream you've always wanted, ultimately.
Living the dream. Raping and killing small
that's
children.
That's what you need to do, right?
You will be the rape clown you meant to be.
Jeremy, just get a goddamn CPAP mask. Why are you so against getting a CPAP mask?
Because it's uncomfortable, and I think it's all bullshit to begin with.
So you think you're okay? So you,
this is something people make money off of, so you can care about people. It's like, well, you know, all the people that die of sleep apnea. No, nobody dies of sleep apnea. People die of heart attacks and they die of being fat. They don't die because they stop breathing.
I mean, what? All right, let me stop you right there.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just stop you. Okay.
Throw me all the statistics of people that die of
breathing. I don't
have
any. I don't have any.
There are none.
I don't.
It's like straight men that die of AIDS.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
All right. There's so many things that you just said there. But yes. You said, throw me the statistics of people who die from not breathing. I think it's 100%. But by the way,
Chief that killed Jack Nicholson in The Cuckoo's Nest, he died because he didn't breathe anymore.
But,
so.
But the real question is, if it is a quack, okay?
Yes.
And if you say it's a quack. Why won't you at least try it to see if it improves your life? And if it doesn't, then you can actually be an authority on that.
I love the excuse that my wife is like, you stop breathing. Everyone's like, yeah. It's called, you don't need that much fucking air in the night. Your body shuts down for a couple of seconds and you don't breathe. It's not that you're dying. Your body doesn't need 100% oxygen while you sleep.
No, it's because you're fucking... inhumanly overweight and your body just fucking shuts down and you don't breathe.
It's called, okay, cycle, 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 and you take a little fucking rest. It's what your fucking body does. You're not dying, you're not choking on anything. It's not like all of a sudden, cardiac arrest. It's like, no, it's called, your body's taking a little fucking rest.
What it is,
but people like to fucking be paranoid about this shit. Now, I've heard my wife literally force air where she's like, okay, when she stops, she goes, and then it goes again. So there's a tiny, tiny bit of effort to actually fucking breathe. Whereas I think if my wife was like 800 pounds, I would question it.
But Jeremy, have you ever actually listened to yourself? Like I've showed you the videos. I don't think you can actually watch yourself sleep to see what
I've heard enough of myself sleep.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't, dude.
It's the same damn thing that my wife does.
It sounds fucking horrible, dude. You are fucking legit choking to death every time you sleep.
I am not choking to death.
And you sleep constantly, and it's because you're not getting a restful sleep because you're not reaching.
And this is the same bullshit that my fucking uncle believes, and he's the laziest fucking person.
I mean, it's nothing that anybody believes. I never sleep.
Jeremy, I haven't slept for like 20 years.
Jeremy,
like, you sleep every fucking day, you fucking piece of shit.
You're refuting legit science. Legit science that says that people who have sleep apnea do not get restful sleep, henceforth are fucking constantly exhausted, and as soon as they get it, oh my god, they put on the sleep apnea mask after they have a sleep study, and you can fucking breathe again and have a good night's sleep. I don't know why you wouldn't want that. That's the thing that baffles me.
The whole bullshit is like, oh, unless you breathe in perfect, then you're actually working to actually breathe. Oh my gosh, you're gonna die because you're working to breathe.
Wait a minute. Your take on this is that you think that you're actually beating the life cycle because you're working less to breathe?
Of course.
At night, you're actually conserving energy by not breathing.
Oh, so your sleep is so much more restful because you don't stop every once in a while. It's just so much fucking carnyism. It's like, you know, why don't you read my fucking palms? You know, sell me which demon you want to fucking talk to.
Jeremy, I was...
You know, listen, sell me a fucking machine because I need to be fucking Frankenstein to fucking live. Otherwise, I'm as good as dead. I'm a goner, you know? If I didn't have that machine, I would have lived another 30 fucking years, you know?
I just think, listen, if I'm being truthful, Jeremy, by the way, great take on that. But
unless you breathe perfectly, you're dying. You're going to die. I know all these people to die.
But
fuck you.
But
Fuck you and your bullshit science. This is fucking earth, flat earth bullshit ideas. This is the same as you know, there's global warming. You know, there's global warming unless we fucking throw away our fucking SUVs and fucking wear, no, don't wear shoes anymore. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Jeremy, by the way, you've won me over.
You've thrown so much science at me. You know, I'm fucking gonna, I have to buy a CPAP tonight. I'm as good as dead.
You've won me over. All right, listen, I'm going to ignore all of the science behind you not actually sleeping at any time. I don't think you've slept. By the way, I don't think you've slept in the last 10 years.
Take a big fucking... pound of... I've had lousy fucking jobs most of my fucking life, and the amount of fucking depression that I eat for fucking dinner, and maybe that might be a little bit part of why I sleep. Might be a little part of it.
But listen.
Thank God I don't do fucking heroin.
But listen. Like, I don't understand why you're so anti-CPAP. Like, why won't you just do the sleep study to see
bullshit.
But you don't know that. You don't know that. You know, by the way, even on your own measuring scale, you don't know that.
I put it right there with copper.
But
you know, you wear that copper, those copper socks, you're gonna have a better lifestyle.
What if you actually could get what if you actually woke up? When was the last time you woke up from sleep? Okay, and you actually felt rested for the day, and you're ready to attack. Like you've woke up, like energized. Like, oh, I had sleep. I'm ready to go.
The last time I had great paychecks.
Okay, so your sleep is directly correlates with the job that you have.
Fuck yes.
When was the last time you had a good job?
A couple months ago.
What was this job?
Running forklifts in the snow. So.
Okay, running forklifts in
the snow. Yeah, and with the overtime, I was actually paying off bills. So.
Well, Jeremy, I would just say that personally me. Looking from I feel like you're in the forest, okay?
Yes.
Maybe you're not seeing the trees.
Yeah.
And I'm your brother, and I think you agree that I love you, right? As a person. I think that you would say that I love you. I would say that your health is poor. I think that you would agree with that.
Very much so.
And that like some of the things that you could do to improve them, I think would start with a good night's sleep.
I think it would start with actual exercise.
And no, I don't. I don't think that. That this is what I'm saying to you. So listen, you can shit on it for whatever you want. Like I get it. You can think that exercise is your fucking thing. It's not. Exercise means nothing. It's diet, by the way, because I'm losing weight. It's 100% diet. All of your things are wrong.
You are Mr. Rugby in your days when you could probably take in 100,000 calories,
and you still couldn't
gain weight.
I can tell you. Right now, I'm not playing rugby. I lost 50 pounds, and it's 100% due to diet. But on top of that, Jeremy, I'm telling you as my brother, as a person who's away from your health situation, I've seen you sleep, and I'm telling you that I think if you had a CPAP apnea mask, it would improve your quality of life in general. Now, you could take that and you could shit on it, and you could fucking throw it in the dirt and think that that's not good, and that's fine. But I'm letting you know that I'm saying that to you,
yes,
in the very least. And whatever, you can say, oh, Eric's been full. I don't have a CPAP mask. I don't know what that is. I can tell that our mother has a CPAP mask. She used to be fucking 300 pounds, and she weighs like 128 pounds now,
right,
because she has a restful night's sleep. So if you're saying that it's not a healthful, like it doesn't have a benefit on your life, you're wrong.
It had nothing to do with her health.
Well, but okay.
The ring that put around her stomach is what actually helped her lose weight. Yes.
Okay, but she's I'm telling you, Jeremy.
And she couldn't lose weight until she got the ring.
I don't know why you're so anti it. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's bullshit.
I get that you think it's bullshit, but you have no facts to back that up. But
I have actual science.
No, you don't have it. You don't have any science. Don't say that you do because you don't.
Because there is no science behind it. It's just like copper. Copper will save your life if you put a fucking penny in your pocket.
Jeremy,
so.
God damn it. So
you know, if you don't put that penny in your pocket, you're gonna die.
I don't want you to die. I want you to live a long life. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't want you to be the in this fucking circle of fucking horribleness, and you're getting older. You should fucking get a CPAP mask. You should.
It'll never happen.
I'm gonna fucking film it and I'm gonna share it with our viewers. Viewers, if you're listening to this right now, weigh in on this debate about Jeremy fucking slowly choking to death every night and encourage him to just at least get a sleep study.
You know,
we will make this happen.
Get as many carnies as you can to sell this bullshit.
What?
You know, to sell these little machines because they help you breathe, because otherwise you'd never breathe. You know, here's another conspiracy about babies that stop breathing.
Uh-huh.
That's because their fucking parents kill them. Their fucking parents strangle them in the fucking night. And I saw it on a video once. It's like, oh no, this baby was dying. It's like, yeah, the fucking parent killed him. The fucking parents are fucking diabolical.
Well, I mean, who hasn't want to strangle a baby?
Exactly, you know, because, gosh, the constraints of actual care in life.
Well, Jeremy, let's go on. I'm sorry. We're going to move on. I've stated what I wanted to state. And I know, listen, there's some tension between us, but I don't hate you.
There's no tension whatsoever because I study things and I study carnism, which I love carnism. Look,
carnism
is where you sell somebody something and they still know it's bullshit. Like, oh, did you try this for your psoriasis? Like, no, I didn't try it. Well, my uncle, he tried it for a couple months and man, his psoriasis cleared right the fuck up. After I tried it for a fucking couple months and did absolutely bullshit nothing, I wanted to go fucking strangle the guy for wasting my fucking time and wasting my fucking money on something he fucking knew didn't fucking work other than selling it to me because I'm a fucking carny.
Well, Jeremy, let me ask you a
fuck
question.
Fuck him.
Well, like, a carny is a person at a carnival.
Yes.
What you're talking
about. Yes, it's called somebody who sells bullshit.
Well, Jeremy,
There's a lot of bullshit in this fucking world.
Am I a carny? Am I selling you bullshit
yes,
right
you
now?
Yes, you are.
Is that what I'm selling
you? You see a commercial for somebody that wears copper socks.
I've never
socks.
Seen a commercial
oh,
for
a commercial
fucking
for...
sleep apnea.
There
I've
are
never
commercials.
Seen that.
Of course they are. There's so many people that are fucking... sold on it and it's still oh bullshit. God. It's bullshit.
But what, I get it. If I'm...
I just
you're,
can't
you're
breathe.
Insufferable.
I
you're
can't
insufferable.
Breathe. I'm having a miserable life, and it's all because I don't have a CPAP.
Do you want to?
That's my number one reason my life is miserable.
I don't think that's that. You want to know what I think it is?
Yes.
I don't think you actually want to live. I think you want to fucking die.
I have wanted to fucking die for years.
I know,
years.
But this is the thing. I've thought
I could
about
make
that.
It a lot fucking faster.
I've thought about that. I've thought about
I could
that
make
before.
It a lot faster.
I don't know how we're ever going to talk about Freddy after this, but I can tell you one thing. Jeremy has wanted to die for at least the last decade, but God has cursed you with a long life. And by the way, by you not having a CPAP mask and not doing this, the very least that you can do to get a restful sleep, you are doing this to yourself. And God is going to curse you with a fucking long-ass life. So you're going to have to fucking live this fucking life the whole time. And you could be living a much better life if you just did it. And whatever money that it costs, I will raise it. I will make it happen. Just use it for the allotted amount of time. Use it for 3 months. And if it doesn't improve your life, throw it away and then come back on this podcast and then fucking shit on me. And I will listen to all of it. I will believe your snake oil stories.
I don't need to use it for 3 months to know it's bullshit. That's the
no,
whole
you
point.
Do. You do.
That's
because
the whole point.
You, Jeremy, I'm so fucking crazy. Any listener who's listening right now can't disagree with
me. How many people you know that love using the CPAP and just swear their fucking soul on it?
Mom,
how many fucking people?
Your mother.
Yeah,
mother.
And she's skinned.
Mother is going to live longer than you.
Whatever.
100%.
Whatever.
100%.
I wish I was dead with dad. I wish I was dead with him right now.
Jeremy, let's go on to your I don't know how we go on from this, but Jeremy, how do we can we talk about your buddy at Chiller Theater?
Let's talk about people who are really doing well in
life. Okay,
let's talk about people that are big time actors. They've been in a lot of movies, a lot of independent movies. They're pushing 70 plus years. And I won't name the name, but it's pretty obvious.
No, it's John Link. I'll drop it right away. Drop John Link. So John Link is your friend.
I wouldn't call him a friend. I would call him a very close acquaintance, yes.
So famous from the Cinemax series, Lord of the G-Strings, right?
The series, yes.
Okay. So, I watched the whole trilogy.
There was a trilogy? There were the Twin Towers and the Fellowship of the G-String.
Yeah, the Fellowship of the G-String.
And the Return of the G-String. So, anyway, this poor bastard who at one point lost his house and was living in a truck with his brother, who is kind of like a twin brother, but at the same time not. They are the same size. And he's pushing 68. He's 71. I don't know if I mentioned this in another podcast. We were trying to save his, career? Because we know this is like a career killer. And we really cared about him. Except he's such a horrible person.
So John Lake is a real piece of shit, is what you're getting at.
It's not so much that he's an asshole douche to people. But the fact that he's making a good amount of money from the government to live where he could have a place to stay and live well and live off the government. You know, live in a hospital where he'd be taken care of, fed. But no. He lives with his brother in a truck, in the front of a truck, and eventually, because they were living homeless for so long, his brother caught wind of him one night going through his pubes area, putting lice into his mouth and chewing on them, to which his brother said he was eating his own lice.
Oh my god! Wait, so your friend John Link,
which
your
I
boy,
guess are the same,
your boy,
the same as crabs,
boy,
the crabs.
Was picking through his own scalp like a primate on another primate and just picking off little lice
But here's the thing. When he was confronted about this, he wasn't eating them. He was just chewing on them to kill them. That's not the bad part. The bad part, he has been eating out of garbage cans for years now. And the fact that he has money, and he will go to shows, and he will beg from you, and he'll put up this, I don't have any money, and I'm homeless. He will go home from some of these shows with a bag full of fucking toys to the tune of $200 after begging people for money, pretending like, I'm Mr. Homeless, I need help and shit, but he's still an asshole because he won't spend money on his own fucking... I was lured into it. I buy him fucking tacos, I give him some money for... the last $5 I gave to him, he was called out because Edward called him out. He's like, he bought a necklace with it. He didn't buy it for food. He was probably going through fucking more garbage cans. This man has been a street bum for years now. Here's the thing that drove Edward crazy, because he was one of the few people that visited him in the hospital after he had his stroke, which, of course, he waited 24 hours to go to the hospital for his stroke, which he might have recovered from much easier and might be able to still use his right arm. He can't use his right arm. Thank God he can walk. Okay. Talking about people not taking care of themselves. So, okay.
Jeremy sees no connotation in the story at all.
Yes, because otherwise the CPAP is my savior. So, anyway, if only I had a restful sleep. So, anyway, this poor bastard who has enough money to stay somewhere is back out on the street. No, Edward had to go visit the hospital, and when the people from the hospital saw him, was like, are you his brother? You're sleeping in the sleep. Like, no, I'm just coming to visit him. Completely ridden with lice.
Oh, yeah.
And unbeknownst to us.
As John Lake calls it, food. Okay.
Yes.
If anything, he's self-sustaining. He's eating himself.
The last time we called him in for a shoot to have him almost naked with 20 young girls on a bed, he didn't tell us that he was ridden with lice. But We did want him to dye his hair black so that he'd look more like Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to use the same bathroom that he had used, and I just get this creepy feeling, like, I know this guy is a bum, a street bum, but at the same time, how dirty can he be? He is that fucking filthy dirty. So come to this last show. We called him in. We know he's been homeless. He hasn't been bathing. He probably hadn't bathed for at least 6 to 8 months.
Okay. Oh, God.
And also, he doesn't like bathing because he doesn't like taking a shower. He feels too cold.
Does he think it's like snake oil? Like, everybody's been telling him to bathe and he shouldn't bathe.
Well, not only when he was a bum, he didn't like bathing, but he didn't like, if he'll be hanging out with us, he'd like to take a 5-hour bath.
Ugh.
And he doesn't like showering because he feels cold. He's an old man. He's a fucking, here's the thing. Edward had a falling out with him because he's such an anti-religious evil person. Like, even on Easter, he's like, mm-hmm. he's like spreading memes of like Jesus having gay sex and that sort of really obnoxious kind of bullshit.
Yeah, like regular memes.
Right. Like, oh, it's Easter. Well, fuck Jesus, you know? So here's the thing. Not only Edward takes it a little bit too personal, but at the same time, he's like, I don't want him in my car. He's probably got lice. You know, to think I had him in my car, he had lice, but he wouldn't tell me. And of course, now we've gotten to the bottom where his brother probably has lice too. And his brother's like, well, maybe just a little bit of lice. Like, no, I'm not full-blown lice. I just have some lice. But of course, his brother at least actually showers every once in a while.
A touch of lice.
Oh, gosh. But here's the thing. At the show, nobody's going to help him. Nobody's going to, like, he keeps begging absolutely everybody if he can stay in a room with everybody. And we're just like, who wants to share lice?
Yeah. Nobody wants that. Don't bring fucking John Link to the fucking weird sex orgies that you guys have after Chiller Theater.
And I hate to say that he slept on the public chairs in the hotel. But that's not the bad part. That's not the bad part. Him getting to the creme de la creme. Creme de la creme. This guy named Vinny, who does a show called Sci-Fi Ninja Theater, he sat next to John during one of the Q&As with Billy Zane. And during the Q&A, John starts going and digging into his crotch to the point where he is getting so into his digging and scratching that Billy Zane had to... Billy Zane had to stop his Q&A in shock as he's just watching John just go at his crotch. And that we're putting two and two together here. Two and two together. Probably still has lice or crabs.
Oh, God.
But then I start giving Vinny the lowdown on John Link. And the second that his brother or John Link gets close to Vinny, he's got this giant suitcase and he's using it like a shield just to keep him away.
No!
Like, keep away
from
me. He doesn't want him anywhere near. And Vinny, just to give you a thing, he looks like a mini Mexican with super, super long hair. And I think he weighs like close to 350 pounds. Kind of like the clown from Spawn.
God.
He's really huge.
Stop. So, I haven't been this hard during one of your stories before.
But Vinny, don't, not to shit on him in any way. He's had the game where his videos, his main thing is he's such a short person that he'll always ask hugs from girls and put his fucking face right into their tits, which is part of his game, which I respect him for.
Respect.
That.
Respect. So. Respect for that.
So the chance of John being dead in the next year, if you were putting money on it, might be a sure thing, like the Patriots winning. So,
should we get into our movie again?
Sure,
at this
sure.
point? God damn it. We had a heavy-ass episode up front here. Heavy-ass episode.
Lice, baby.
We're continuing.
You know what I think might help John live longer? He needs a CPAP.
He needs a CPAP. It sounds like it.
But
it sounds like
it. Keep him from eating
it.
Lice.
I like it. I wish he would just find out what a CPAP could do for his life instead of just shitting on it without trying it. But without any science or anything. So anyway, we're jumping back into Nightmare on Elm Street.
Do it again. Nightmare on Elm Street Nightmare in Elm Space Street,
Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. When we left off, Jesse had had a huge dream sequence. It wasn't even a dream sequence. He had uncovered the parakeets, which is the scariest part of the movie. The parakeets had gotten loose.
A lot of people compare this to the bird in Jacob's Ladder that flies around in the party.
I was so scared, Jim. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know what to do with my body.
You know, parakeets are frightening.
I was terrified.
They are of the devil.
So after the parakeet incident, he goes to sleep, and Jesse awakens and goes to hit the rainy streets of Elm Street. He goes to a place called Don's Place, which is... All right, Don's Place is maybe an emo bar, maybe a punk bar, maybe a cowboy bar.
This is Nads slash,
maybe it's New Age Dine and Dance. It's a place where dudes get sucked off by other dudes, okay?
He walks by the two gay guys from Police Academy, and then he passes Al Pacino and, you know. Hey, look, it's Quado.
They just have everybody there. So he goes up to the bar and he orders a beer. You might notice the director in the corner who was shouted
out. No, it's the producer.
The producer sitting at the bar there. He gives him a beer. The bartender gives Jesse a beer, but also gives him a whiskey glass to pour his beer. Where has this ever happened in any part of history? Was this a thing in the
80s? Terrible bartending. Terrible.
It just makes no sense at all.
Relax. Don't do it. When you want to go to it.
Relax. Don't do it.
When you want to come.
Have gay sex. Have gay sex with your gym teacher.
Holly Johnson made gayness so cool.
So he gives him a beer, and then all of a sudden, his super gay gym teacher touches his
super
shoulder.
Gay.
The gayest of gym teachers.
The gayest
comes
of
over,
the gay.
Grabs his shoulder, and they are all of a sudden transported to a gym where Jesse is doing laps now in the gym.
Sorry, I just imagine Quado having gay sex. Sorry.
So, Coach comes out at one point and says, "Hey, you need to hit the showers." So he does so. While Jesse's in the shower, Coach takes to his office and sees some very odd things happening. Tennis rackets start popping their strings. Tennis balls start shooting off of the out of their Pringle can tubes.
Brought to you by Penn. Ten balls.
Balls of every size, shape, and form start flying off the shelf at our very unafraid gym teacher. Like, the gym teacher just doesn't seem fazed. He's like, "Oh, great. I get it. Everything's popping off the shelves again. I get it."
Whatever. I have the key. I will control this.
Yes. So, all of a sudden, some jump ropes then hog tie the gym teacher by his hands and start dragging him down the hallway as he's screaming, still in his BDSM suit that he was in earlier. The specter then brings him to the shower where Jesse is showering, removes all of his clothes, immediately strips him nude up against the wall. And at this point, we hear this clip right here.
No! No!
No!
No!
So the shower fogs up.
Quado's a freak.
And Freddy all of a sudden appears out of the shadows and he comes over and slashes the back of the gym teacher. Jesse looks down at his own hand while this is all happening and realizes that he's wearing the Freddy
glove.
By
far the girliest scream of the entire movie.
Yeah, this is pretty, like, let's get a little listen to this.
Did you hear that woman scream?
That's a pretty strong scream from Jesse right there. Pretty impressive. So, the next day, Jesse, after Jesse does that, the police return Jesse home because he's found sleepwalking outside. His parents ask him this little question here.
Two questions. You answer them.
Did you open those cans?
What are you taking, son? Who are you getting it from?
I'm not taking drugs.
Well, it can't be gay sex.
Come on.
So he has to go back out up to bed. He's just like, listen, are you taking those gay drugs they're giving the kids at the 80s school? You know how everybody gets gay in school.
You're not listening to Depeche Mode, are you, boy?
Oh, I don't allow Depeche Mode in my house. The next day, Dad is...
You don't need your own personal Jesus, okay?
The next day, Dad is reinforcing all the barred windows on the house. Jesse takes off and doesn't want to talk about the events of last night. Now, back at school, the police are on scene. Jesse rushes out to see what all the commotion is and quickly finds out that his gym teacher was murdered last night. And by Grady's account... hacked to pieces. Pretty intense.
His ass had been slapped so many times.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We forgot to mention that while the gym teacher was tied up, specters come over and slap his ass red with fucking white towels. It's so fucking...
It's redder than that video with the wife who found out her husband was cheating and like whacked the fuck out of him. So, which was kind of entertaining. Yeah.
It made me want to have heterosexual sex with my wife
as soon as
I watched it.
Now, I went to a Monster Mania where there was one of these freaky chicks. I don't want to say how freaky, okay. But of course she did have a big giant slapping stick, big flat paddle, and mm-hmm. I was like, she's like, oh, okay, assumed the position. I was like, oh, this is funny. And man, did she fucking give it to me full strength. And I just remembered like just the air just sucking from my body. Like, now this is normal. I think it hurts really bad. But when you have psoriasis on your ass, it's like, oh, that's a whole new level of pain, boy, you know? And she was like ready to give me another, and I'm like, don't fucking touch me. Don't you fucking hit me again. Like, oh my gosh, was that painful. And it's like, you know, I've tried to be all like manly about it. It's like, oh gosh, on the inside I'm like crying. But like, yeah, that was fine. That's fine. You know? Gosh, it hurts.
So later that night, Jesse goes to sleep and he awakens to see Freddy's glove moving within his drawer, which is a pretty cool little effect. It's simple. He opens up his fucking...
How the hell did they do that?
How did they do it? I liked the effect. It's a very simple one, but very effective. And
they must have called him Doug Henning for that one. So
he sees Freddy and he tells him this. Kill for me. So
he also says no glove, no love. I just put that together. The Freddy bus has body glove sticker on the driver's front thing.
Oh yeah, it does.
Body glove.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
So he walks into his sister's room right after that, and he finds his sister jump roping, where we get to hear the classic Freddy. Ooh, very scary. Now, the next morning, Jesse confronts his dad about the house and the murder that happened across the street and the girl that went crazy. But while they're arguing about that, all of a sudden the toaster just catches on fire behind him. And, like, what the fuck? Like, he goes over to check it. The toaster was never plugged in. On top of that, oh my gosh! Ridiculous.
That's when they open their toaster oven and there's this like big charcoal thing. He's like, Mom, Dad, don't touch it. It's evil.
It's evil. So the next scene, we see Jesse and his girlfriend slash lady friend Lisa head to Freddie's old job at the power plant where Freddie used to work, and the two lovebirds go in to investigate. Fred Krueger is known from the newspaper clippings that Lisa has found that he captured over 20 kids and murdered him at that very site. So Lisa asked Jesse to ask him if he feels any psychic connection to this room, which makes no sense. Psychic has never been introduced at any part in this movie. They're just like, hey, do you feel anything? And like, while I'm watching, I'm like, shut up, you dumb bitch. You don't know he has fucking psychic powers. Makes no sense that she's even bringing this up. But he's got nothing. But then all of a sudden, he sees a like a dilapidated yellow metal cabinet with like the paint peeling off of it. They open it. It's just a rat. Full fucking mini jumping. Little mini jump scare.
More brains.
Now, back at Jesse's house, we see the furnace light and the specter of Freddy move its way upstairs, Evil Dead style, to Jesse's sister's room. And as it hovers over the girl, we hear this. Wait, where's 13? There it is.
Wake up, little girl.
And as standing over her, we see that it's actually Jesse. It's not Freddy at all. Oh my God! He's inhabited a body. And it's.
He's out of the Matrix.
And he's still wearing Freddy's glove on top of that. So next we see Jesse popping some speed pills called Stay Awake, which seem pretty legit to me, you know what I mean?
Another Cinco product.
Hey, those are things you can take when you don't have a sleep apnea mask, I'll tell you that much.
Just try the Napple.
He makes it to the next morning. He thinks he's going crazy. Lisa's very concerned. All of his friends seem to notice that he's very much on edge, and while he's eating lunch the next day, he snaps at Grady and tells him to shut up.
You know what they all suggest?
What's that?
That he needs a CPAP.
Yes, I agree. If he had a CPAP, he could be having all these sweet nightmares where he's having fucking cool dreams. So later that night, after his day at school, we are sent to a pool party at Lisa's. The whole high school is pretty much there. And the parents head up for the night. They tell Lisa that the party needs to be over at 12:30. And Lisa goes to talk to Jesse in the pool house room where things start to get very intimate. She assures him that she's there for Jesse and that they have a very intimate kiss. They pan back out to the parents' room. They're drinking scotch. They turn out the lights, and the second the lights turn out, Jeremy,
in the city,
we hear this.
Yeah!
Party time! Party time!
Time to turn out the Paul Anka. Yes. Relax. So, don't do it when you want to go to it.
They turn up this almost 80s hit.
I want to be with you, baby.
So,
all I know is that you.
It immediately turns into a giant kid orgy there. Lisa is getting real frisky with Jesse, and then all of a sudden,
he is sucking between her boobs.
Yeah, yeah. He's touching and groping her boobs, and then all of a sudden, a grotesque tongue comes out of Jesse's mouth. Lisa doesn't see it, and he freaks out and leaves, which is makes sense because this is a very gay man. Like, this is right.
Did you read the trivia on this one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
The fact that the director said he had to leave during this scene because the pool house party made him laugh so bad he couldn't direct it.
It's a good bit, man.
Now put your giant tongue out.
So,
just make it.
So Jesse then leaves the party and then immediately heads over to Grady's house where he comes clean about the situation.
I killed Snyder.
Killed the gym teacher.
He killed Roy Snyder?
Oh, it wasn't me, see. There's something inside of me. And last night it made me go to my sister's room. And tonight with Lisa on the cabana, it started to happen again.
I think you are seriously losing it, bro.
I'm scared, Grady. Something is trying to get inside my body.
Yeah, and she's female, and she's waiting for you in the cabana. And you want to sleep with me.
Dumbass.
Look, I don't care if you believe me or not.
Hey, I believe you. You've had some scary dreams,
so you're
okay?
Gay.
No. I'm all messed up. I'm in trouble. And I need you to help me.
I need you to suck me off.
Okay.
I need you to suck me off so I don't fall asleep for the entire night. What? How long? 8 hours. I need an 8-hour suck.
If anything starts to happen.
Well, we'll do it just so you stay awake.
Start to act weird. Start dreaming weird. Or try to walk out of here. You gotta stop me. I don't care if you have to hit me over the head. Just don't let me leave. And Grady,
don't fall asleep, Grady.
Let me just put on this C-SPAN Senate debate. I think that'll keep me up most of the night because, why don't I just put on this part of episode one from Star Wars? I mean, that'll be pretty good action-oriented.
So, back at the party, we're transported back at the party, and Lisa is talking to this other girl, Carrie, who we haven't really been introduced to previously, but clearly maybe the hottest one in the film.
Except the flattest one.
And she maybe doesn't have huge tits, but whatever. They're not juicy. They're not juicy-ass boobs, but pretty solid ones. Solid boobies? Can we agree on that? Solid boobies?
No.
Okay. So Carrie says that Lisa should go and see him. She doesn't. Spoiler alert. Grady is watching TV in Jesse's room, and as soon as he falls asleep, Jesse stops giving a fuck about the situation. Jesse, the second Grady hits the hay, wakes up and says, "It's starting to happen again! Oh!
The gayness is escaping!
I feel like I need to have gay sex with you, Grady! Oh,
I need to whip your ass with towels!" We must sleep together.
So he starts to come. Freddy starts to come through Jesse's fingertips, like in the form of the knives, and his arm starts to rip apart, revealing Freddy's classic green and red sweater as it rips through the flesh. Grady is clearly freaked out. As this transformation is happening, he's screaming for his dad in the other room. This transformation is pretty cool, though. Like, it rips through all of Jesse's, like, flesh and shit, and then Freddy is all of a sudden, like, at one point, like, seen through Jesse's open mouth. You can see his eye, and then he pushes his way through like the torso of Jesse into Grady's room, And as Grady's dad is pounding on the door, all of a sudden, Freddy's claws come through the door and fucking pin him like this. Blood juts out the other side right in front of his dad's face as Grady is quickly dispatched of.
Bow, bow.
Overall, I thought a pretty cool scene. Good transformation, good special effects, Jeremy. What say you?
Pretty much the same as Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So.
Yeah, I would. I mean, we weren't going to mention the FBDA. But okay.
By the way, I saw that guy. He was at the chiller, and he gave me a little attention as the clown. So
I mean,
he does look rather old now, by the way. Very white.
Oh, I don't
white.
Like that. I don't like
He's
that.
He's
got
to be pushing 60-something, 70-something.
So Jesse goes back to Lisa's place, the pool party, and admits he killed Grady.
I'm scared.
Jesse, who is doing this to you?
Fred Krueger.
Fred.
He's inside me, and he wants to take me again.
I'm straight!
No. Jesse.
I don't like the fact that they call him Fred in this.
So, he admits to her that he killed Grady, which is clearly a homicide that has happened at this point, right? Like, this is, maybe you were dreaming the other night and you weren't sure, but now you've admitted it to another person. It doesn't make any sense.
And you're walking home and you're completely covered in blood. That's
yeah,
not good.
You're covered in blood. And by the way, this bitch who kind of looks like Meryl Streep is really into it. Like, she's really into it. So,
she's no she-devil.
Back at the pool party, things are starting to heat up. Literally. The pool starts to bubble up and start to get hotter. The hot dogs catch on fire. Back inside while the pool party is going on, we see Lisa read more from the diary. They say that the fear is the thing that gives Freddy his power, and that Lisa says, you can fight him.
Oh, God, he's coming back.
No, he's coming.
Get out of here, Lisa.
Jesse, fight him.
I can't.
I love
you
him.
You created him. You can destroy him. Jesse, fight him.
I can't.
Yes, you can. Fight him. You are not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
No.
You are not afraid of him. Jesse, fight him.
I can't.
Fight him.
I can't.
Him.
I can't.
Him.
I can't.
Him.
I can't.
Him. Jesse, fight him.
I can't.
You can. Fight him. You are not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
No.
No. So Freddy starts to push his way through.
I must have children.
And then,
Jesse?
She looks over.
Fight me. I'm here.
No!
Jesse stands up, and it's actually Freddy. But all the doors are locked. Freddy gets up and chases her around the house, which ultimately culminates in her getting bit in the leg by Fred Krueger himself. Outside, the pool is like boiling and kids are fucking getting fucking burned alive, which is pretty dope. Inside, Lisa grabs a knife, confronts Freddy. She stabs him with no type of intention to harm at all. It almost does no damage. She just can't bring herself to hurt Jesse, the man she secretly loves. She pleads for her life to Jesse, and then all of a sudden, Freddy runs off and jumps through a window and disappears.
Well, that's the end of the movie.
All seems to be
all
fine.
Right. It was great. It was a great review on this movie, and
then,
were you doing anything?
All the kids outside are looking around, and everything seems to be fine.
Oh,
but all of a sudden,
no.
Oh my God, Freddy's back. He's back, and he's fucking more horrible than ever. So, Freddy starts going buck wild, slashing kids. The pool catches fire. Someone touches the fence. It's red hot. They can't get out. It's hell on earth and absolute pandemonium.
It is a horrible pool party.
One kid gets trampled to death in the process. Another kid gets gutted by Freddy.
And his guts are going everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. One kid all of a sudden tries to calm Freddy down.
Much like that scene from the Toxic Avenger.
Hey! Just calm down, right? Relax. Yeah. It's gonna be all right.
What if you just rape me instead of everybody else here?
It's gonna hurt you. Just tell us what you want, all right? Yeah, I'm
a blowjob?
Help yourself, fucker!
So he just stabs this guy.
You know
right
what this scene really needs?
Yeah.
Really needs a good song.
Oh, a good song?
Yeah.
Do you think it's time for Freddy's pool party?
I think that's what would have made this scene much better in the movie.
Solid, Jeremy.
It was pool party with Freddy.
Pool party with Freddy. So he fucks that dude up.
I feel like the next Dawkin.
The dad, Lisa's dad, comes out, tries to shoot Freddy, but Lisa stops him, and the bullet goes astray. Then we see Freddy basically calmly walk out into the bushes and light them on fire and leaves. He's just gone.
Much like Homer Simpson when he was like a T-1000 walking through the bushes.
I agree. So Lisa immediately takes off after him. She apparently knows where he's going, which is the power plant where Freddy used to work. She pulls up there, and we get to see some creepy ass Rottweilers that just have these weird masks. Like, this is such a bizarre scene. Like, they're like, hey, you know what would be scarier? If Rottweilers had giant baby faces. Like, that would be good.
Well, I think just shows that Freddy's power plant is now like Mordor, you know,
yeah.
Entering into the getting past the special demons of Mordor.
So the climax of the movie, it's steamy pipes, it's dark fucking labyrinth. It's classic Freddy Krueger. Lisa braves her way through. She makes it. She finds that her bite mark from earlier is covered with bugs. That's pretty scary. Freaks her out. She sees a mutant.
At least they're not lice.
She sees a mutant cat at one point that eats a rat in front
like
of
a
her.
First, there's a mutant rat that gets eaten by a mutant cat. So,
mutant rat eaten by mutant cat.
No, Dr. Seuss. I don't want a mutant rat with a mutant cat. I don't want it under a bridge.
I don't want it in a fridge. I don't want it here or there. I don't want it anywhere. And then after she sees the mutant cat, she sees Freddy come in right here.
Hey!
Talk to me, Lisa. Lisa the Cold Jam.
So we hear Freddy say, beckon her, come to me, Lisa. Freddy starts slashing at her down this hallway, and then all of a sudden she can hear Jesse's voice pleading with him.
Lisa!
I love you, Jesse!
Man, what great acting.
I didn't hear it as clear during a lot of the other scenes with Freddie, but I love the fact that they used whales singing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
During that, it was just noticeable enough during this scene, but it was barely noticeable during the other scenes.
So she can hear Jesse's voice, so she walks over to Freddie, pulls off his hat, and puts a very awkward kiss on him. And as soon as she starts to kiss fucking Freddy Krueger, you hear this. Which, again, every time I wake up for work in the morning, that is the noise that I make, is literally...
I can't wait to work with James today.
So he melts pretty awesomely. There's like a nice cool wax figure scene that gets melted down. The fire dies down. Freddy Jesse appears to be burnt like a giant fucking mass there. But the charred carcass starts to move. The blackness crackles off like the shell and breaks off. And then all of a sudden it's Jesse inside. He's completely fine. Oh my God. True love from a red-headed slut fucking saved everything once again. All is well with the world.
He found his dream power.
So next we see Jesse leaving for school in the school bus the next day. Now that everything's been brought to a final conclusion. Apparently, he can just go to school the next day. He's been acquitted of all murder charges that
Isn't
he's
that
been done of. Like, you realize he's murdered multiple people. as he's murdered a gym teacher, he's murdered his best friend. You're like, yeah, just go to school the next day.
Yeah,
we don't care about
bloody
forensics.
Footprints and footprints of murdering his best friend.
It makes no sense at all. But he sits down next to Lisa on the bus. Carrie is sitting behind him, and Carrie mentions that was a pretty sick party last night. Oh, the party where people got murdered last night. That was a sick party that you enjoyed. That was the party that you enjoyed. Where people were boiling alive. That's the party that you liked. Makes no sense at all.
Yeah, you gotta bring Freddy to the party again so he can murder people. It's awesome.
Yeah. So Jesse feels like the bus is going a little too fast. He's going back to the very beginning of the movie that we saw earlier. He tells the bus driver to stop, and he does. He picks up the next people.
Can I say the only thing that would have made this scene perfect?
What was that?
If he said the bus was driving too fast and he puts his head out and a pole takes his fucking head off.
Yeah, so that would have been pretty dope.
Hereditary.
So as soon as he pulls over, he sees that he's picking up the next stop. We hear Carrie say this.
It's okay. It's all right. Jesse. It's okay. It's all over.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I hate it when a hand comes through my chest.
A hand just plunges through Carrie's chest, fucking eviscerates her, fucking horrible. And then Freddy drives off into the desert.
Nightmare on Street 3, short bus to hell.
Did you ever see a dream?
And that brings us to the end of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Jeremy.
My favorite Elm Street of all Elm Streets.
What are your closing remarks for Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Jer?
Great role for Quado. Great role for the kid from Weird Science, coming right off of Weird Science. Great role for Meryl Streep. It's amazing how young she was in this film.
Yeah, she looked great. She looked really great.
I had a chance to meet this kid at The Last Chiller, but I didn't. And now I wish I had because he's really gay. The father from Ferris Bueller, you know, you have like a real John Hughes tie-in between Weird Science and Ferris Bueller. And of course... I kind of like Freddy's mask in this a little better. He looked a little creepier.
It is good. He looked more burned.
And the fact that they had lights on his eyes when he was talking, and I like the whale song. And I have to mention one of my favorite composers personally now, Christopher Young, way before Hellraiser. And this is a lot of feeling of Hellraiser in this before Hellraiser. And
this is also the only Freddy movie that doesn't use the little dun 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 dun,
yes,
dun,
yes,
which is a good composition, but not used in this film.
And Christopher Young is probably like now the king of all horror movie composers. Goldsmith, great movies. I don't think it did as many horrors though. I mean, Poltergeist is one of the best horror movie soundtracks of all time. But still, didn't do the variety and the volume, I think, that Christopher Young has.
I really enjoyed it. As soon as I finished watching this, I started having gay sex with myself.
That's called as soon as the wife leaves.
No, I'll do it in front of her. We're that comfortable with our marriage that I'll have gay sex with my wife. It's a good time.
That's called the Restivo touching yourself.
Hell yeah,
so.
Dude. You
Your
gotta
hand
do
is
it.
Now gay.
Sometimes you got to do it, Jeremy. You got to do it. Yeah.
It's never as pleasurable until you wait like a couple weeks to touch yourself.
I enjoyed it. Should we do the rest of the Freddy films? I think we should, right? Like, that's a thing we should do.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like to go straight to the Freddy's 3D because I haven't seen it in so long, though.
Yeah, that's Freddy Part 6. Freddy's dead. But you know what, folks? You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. By the way, whatever player you're listening to us on now, leave us a 5-star rating. We'll read it on the show. Kimberly Ambrose, Kimberly Callahan, and Mike Quinlan's Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar. Check that out. Jeremy, take us out.
Jesse, why don't you put a hot towel around your head and rest for a couple hours?
Ah!